Well, hello, church. Here are your announcements for today. In just a couple weeks, on May 27th, we have this year's Serve the City event, so check out this video. So I encourage you to head to our website, sign up there. There you'll see a whole list of all the organizations that we'll be partnering with. There's opportunity for families, so head to the website and sign up. The other thing that we are looking forward to this summer is kids' summer camp. And it takes a lot of people to host our summer camp. So Shyla, what kind of people are you looking for? What jobs are there?
So there are lots of opportunities to serve. If you are more of a behind the scenes person, I would love to have your help as an administration person. If you are someone who is gung-ho and ready to be there are areas where you can volunteer in our games section or in our crafts and arts section or even serving snack. Another great place that you can volunteer is we have a need for camp grandparents. If this is something that might appeal to you, please reach out, let me know. We would love to have you on the team.
Awesome. Yeah, camp is fun for kids, but it's also fun for all those people who get involved by volunteering.
Yeah.
That is all we have for you. So have a great week.
What makes your mom happy?
Flowers, when I listen.
When I be good or something?
I don't know, that's too tight.
What makes your mom sad?
When I don't listen, like when we get hurt.
What's something that your mom does every day?
Read the Bible, cleans the house,
and I think work.
Kisses me.
What's something your mom always says to you?
I love you. Brush my teeth.
Go clean your room.
Behave.
Don't let the dog upstairs.
Do not bother mom while she's sleeping.
How old is your mom?
I think 5.
12.
That's a very, very tricky question.
I know she's a half and something.
70.
What's your mom's favorite thing to do?
Play with me.
Sit in that chair.
Date night.
Shop.
Shopping.
Go shopping.
It's just shopping every day. She always wants to go shopping.
Me and I get tired. That's kind of boring.
Where's your mom's favorite place to go?
Chinese restaurant.
An animal shelter.
I think it's to the mall.
Go to the restroom.
How are you and your mom the same?
Our hair.
Our eyes.
We have the same phones.
We're really flexible.
We both have long tongues, but my sister and my dad don't really.
How are you and your mom different?
Our eyes are different.
The color of me. I'm brown and she's tan.
Mom has curly hair and I have straight hair.
I do have better abs.
What's your favorite thing about your mom?
That she doesn't like to be away from us.
When she gets down the floor and plays with me.
She's a really good teacher.
I like her face.
Her smile.
When she lets me put on her makeup.
That I can cuddle with her at night.
She is really special.
She's really, 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 really nice.
How do you know that your mom loves you?
She prays and she kisses me and she says, I love you.
Because she's in my family.
How she takes care of us.
By making breakfast.
Do my laundry.
That she helps me get dressed.
Takes me to all the things I do after school.
That she plays games with me.
Play soccer with me.
Play bubbles.
When I sit in her lap.
We watch movies.
We get our nails painted.
Make a scrapbook.
Fish.
Outside cookouts and bonfires.
She spends time with us and not all by herself.
She's patient. With us.
She does everything with me.
Because she says it every day.
Kisses me every night.
And all kinds of stuff.
I just know that she loves me because she says, I'll always love you.
She's awesome.
She loves me no matter what. Like God.
I love you, Mommy.
Happy Mother's Day.
Aww.
That's so cute. Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms and grandmas and mentors and mother figures. Happy Mother's Day to my own mom. Shout out to my mom and my mother-in-law. Happy Mother's Day. And it's so nice to be back with you all. Jake and I were away for a little vacation there for a couple weeks, and it's great to be back with you. We've missed singing with you. We've missed worshiping with you, our church family. So it's great to be back. So I'm going to invite you to stand up as we get started, and I just want to read this call to worship based on some themes from Psalm 139, and it says this. We've come to worship God, who loved us before we were yet born, who knows us even better than we know ourselves, and whose presence never leaves us, whose love for us never ceases. This is our God, and he is good. So let's worship him together. All right. Hit the button. Let's see if I remember how to do this. Hit the button. You go. We gotta put our hands together for this. Yeah, there we go. I wanna scream it out.
I wanna scream it out from every mountaintop. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my
and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? And our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. And our God is Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow. Make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save is He to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? And our God is a Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. You are here moving in our midst. You are here moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Sing it again. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are He working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Yes. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And you are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. Yes, I worship you. You're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Let's just take a moment. All of us come from different kinds of weeks last week. Some of us had great weeks where great things happened and we had a good time. And other of us have had difficult weeks. And I think whether we've had good weeks or bad weeks, we all need God to show himself as this way maker, as this miracle worker, as this promise keeper, a light in our darkness, whatever it is that we are walking through. So let's just take a moment and think about where you need to see God work in your own life. Maybe where he needs to be changing you, maybe where he needs to encourage you, where you need to see a miracle, where you need to see some light. But just take a moment and ask him to show himself to you, to reveal himself in your situations and in your lives. Just take a moment. God, we thank you that we can trust you. That we can trust that this is your character, these words that we've sung. That you stay the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you are always faithful, that you are always good, that your love never fails. God, these are all parts of your character that we can trust in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. So God, we pray that you would show yourself to us, that we would see your hand at work, that you would open our eyes to what you're already doing, that you would open our hearts to feel your presence, even when we maybe can't feel that right now. So God, we just thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that you are loving, that you are good. We worship you. We give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, I invite you to take a seat. And kids, you can head to the back and find Shyla and youth. It is also our Youth Sunday gathering as well. So you guys can head out to your room to hang out there. And yeah, Lindsay.
How do you say hi in...
Buongiorno.
There you go.
Buongiorno, awesome. Unless it's the evening, but buongiorno.
Okay, and you Bellissimo. Were where, for some people who don't know?
From where, Italy.
Italy, yeah. There you go, nice.
That's where we were.
That's where you were, awesome. Well, hey, it's good to have all of you here with us this morning. Every once in a while, I like to remind ourselves here as a congregation what my title is. Can you remind me what my title is? I am? Right, for 7 more weeks. Yeah, exactly. Yes, you're cheering me out the door. I love it. No, that's not what's going on. Hey, we had a great weekend last weekend with Ben and Kirsten Hall, and we had some Q&A. They spoke. They had open houses. We had our meeting on Tuesday night, membership meeting to have a conversation, decide what we were going to do as a church, and we extended the call to Ben and Kirsten, and they gladly have accepted it. And so they are starting July 1st. Yeah, another round. That's amazing. That's awesome. And I know that Ben has been watching our services as we've been going. Ben, we're looking forward to it. Yeah, thanks so much for coming and joining us as a church. The other thing I want to just take a couple minutes to highlight is Serve the City. As you know, if you've been around here for a long time, we love doing this every year. We do one of these events where we go out and we serve different kinds of organizations, different places, different people who love and care for our city in various ways. We always try to offer some family-friendly options and just some other stuff that's just hard work. There's no doubt about it. And so there are all kinds of options. You're doing well. Many of you signed up, but I know there's more of you that want to, and you're just waiting till the last minute because you like to cause me stress. I get that. Just want to remind you, there are lots of kid-friendly options. We're helping out the Cridge this year. We're working with a couple of parks. We're working with Women's Transition House. And there was some others that are just completely going right through my brain right now. But you can hit the website, go on there, right on the front page, serve the city button, tap into that, and there's some descriptions of what's going on. So thank you so much for, as always, being a part of our serving our city. Now I'd like to say Happy Mother's Day. I didn't get a chance to do that earlier. I had a gentleman walk up to me and welcome me Happy Mother's Day. Completely cracked me up. I don't know why he did that, but it was just very funny, Howard. Thank you. All right. I just want to pray for us this morning. And God, Waymaker, our God who is at work when we see it and when we don't, when we know it and when we don't, maybe when we need it and when we don't realize we need it. Thank you so much for your presence with us this morning. Thank you that you are with us at all times. And for moms this morning, I thank you for them, the moms, grandmas, those who play mothering roles in our lives. God, we just thank you so much for them. And as I watch my daughters be mothers and daughter-in-law, and I just see the constant care and work that's involved, I just thank you so much for it. It's an amazing gift. But God, I also lift up those who may be here this morning who have just not had that privilege. It's been one of the things that's been very hard on them. And so, Lord, we lift them to you. And we would pray for your presence and your strength. God, would you bring healing to that sense of loss that they might have. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for the good news with Pastor Ben coming here in July. God, we look forward to future days, what you are going to do in and through the ministry here at SBC. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are getting close to being done the We the Church series. I know that this is when you should be clapping, right? Because this one's kind of gone on for a while. We understand that. We've been trying to talk a little bit about what is the church? What does it mean to be the church? What are the opportunities and responsibilities of being the church? And one of the things that if you took the time, I was encouraging you to maybe, if you hadn't for a long time, maybe read through the book of Acts to discover what the early church is really all about. To maybe see the kinds of things that were priorities to them. Things that mattered. Things that they leaned into. Things that they maybe didn't lean into. And one of the things that becomes very clear when you're reading through the book of Acts and discovering the early church is that they were people of prayer. They just prayed, and it makes sense, right? We know Jesus taught us to pray, and we know the Lord's Prayer to some degree, some versions and varieties of it. We're reminded of that, the prayer, thy kingdom come, right? Thy will be done. It's this idea that we're praying that the world would be put right, that God's way and sway would be evident on the world around us, that we would discover what is God's best, and that would become more of the reality that we live in every day. We go on in that prayer to pray, thy will be done. And it's this sense of surrender of our own ways, our own thoughts. It's this idea of aligning our hearts, my heart, your heart, with God's heart. That's kind of the overarching thing of this prayer. And a few weeks ago, we were looking at Acts chapter 12. If you've got a Bible you want to turn there, we're just going to drop in on a couple of passages this morning. In Acts chapter 12, I've shared with you the story, the crazy story of prayer that was going on in the early church. Do you remember Peter was in prison? And the early church was praying, the church was gathered in a home, and they were praying that he'd be released and all of this. And he was, and he got to the door. Remember, he knocked on the door, and the woman kind of looked at him and kind of went, "It's Peter." And she ran back to the rest of the house and said, "It's Peter." She didn't open the door and welcome him in. She was so excited to see him. She was just kind of like, "Wow, this is crazy." And they didn't actually believe her. They were like, "Oh, that's crazy." But God actually delivered Peter from prison. Now, the context of this story is important, and often we miss it. And I read it for us that time, and I want to read it again and just remind us where the hearts and minds were from these people in the early church, and wondering, is my heart and my mind there? Like, is it there? How about you is what I'm going to ask you to consider. So Acts chapter 12, starting at verse 1. It was at about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. James and John, put to death. And if we're not careful, we'll just quickly run down, because Peter's our guy, right? And Peter was saved from the death. But we need to settle in just for a moment and recognize what's going on here. And how did they respond? He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And when he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. So now Peter is in jail. And this happened during the festival of the unleavened bread. And after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by the four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for a public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The church had just seen two of their leaders put to death. And they just went right back at it. They just dove right back into earnestly praying for God. They didn't understand why. God, didn't you answer that? They didn't have an answer for that question. Why did these people die? They didn't have an answer for that. But they knew their posture, their work needed to be in seeking and earnestly praying to God for him. And we were singing earlier in one of our songs this morning that, and you know, we're going to praise God whether it's sunny and we need air, sea, and ice cream, or when it's raining, right? And we need to repair our roof. Can we worship him in both those spaces? When it's not completely going, maybe as we desired, or maybe it's going exactly as we desired, can we continue to surrender to him? That was the posture of the early church. James and John just put to death by the sword. Peter now arrested. And what did they do? We just got to pray. We've just got to pray. Now, there's lots of elements in prayer, all kinds of different things that you can do. The men and women throughout the centuries, the decades, the millennia of the church have discovered many, many different ways to pray. Different elements, different things. But the one that I want us just to focus in on this morning is this idea of intercession. Intercession is this word that talks about interceding on behalf of somebody else. This is what the early church was doing on behalf of James and John. And they still got killed. But they continued to intercede on behalf of Peter, and Peter was delivered. That's what interceding is. And intercession, really, if you like it, I was been doing a lot of reading and try to be informed as I speak to you. And in one of the books I was reading, it talks about how intercession is actually loving others. That's exactly what it is. Intercession is loving others. It's loving others through prayer. It's wanting God's best for others. At least it should be what we're praying. Or are we praying, God, go get them? I don't know what exactly we're praying for others. Hopefully we're praying for God's best for others. That's what intercession really is. When we truly love God, remember Jesus was asked, could you summarize all the teachings? Because I don't want to study that entire book. Could you summarize it for me? And Jesus said, what? Yep, you got to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Basically saying the entirety of your life. And then he said, then you need to love others. Need to love others. And maybe one of the highest forms in the way of loving others is learning to intercede for them. Learning what it means to intercede. You see, when we love God and when we start to love others, what happens is we're losing this sort of selfish expression of life. Now, Carla and I are just absolutely blessed right now. We've got all 14 of us together as a family. We had 4 kids, 3 married, 5 grandkids. It's crazy. Mayhem, I think, is the word, but it's a good mayhem, right? Like, that's what we're saying. And what I'm watching incredibly is how our kids are raising those grandkids and trying to teach them to consider others. Because we got 5 under the age of 4.5 right now. Do you remember that? Remember those days? Remember what's natural for a preschooler? Mine. Bunk, right? Take. That's what the natural order is for a preschooler. But you see, as a parent, what are we hoping? We're hoping that they're going to mature. And they're actually going to care for others. And see, that's what God was calling us to be about. As we mature, as we learn what it is to truly love God, we need to get out of the preschool phase of our faith and learn what it is to love others, to intercede on behalf of others, to want God's best for others. That's what interceding truly is. Richard Foster, a gentleman who wrote some amazing books on prayer, they're pretty heavy. I didn't make it through all of it. If we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than it is within our power to give them. That was good. Like, if we really love people, we would desire more for them than I can actually give to them. And that's why I would intercede. Ty Statton put it this way: when we engage in intercessory prayer, we are loving others on the basis of heaven's resources. We're calling for God's resources, for the presence of God, for all that God is and all that God wants to do. And we're calling out for God to be greater and have more influence and way and sway and work in these people's lives. That's what interceding is all about. And listen, at times we wonder and we question and we've got the why didn't he and why would he? We've got all of those kinds of questions. And so sometimes that will push us to the point of not wanting to pray. I mean, it just didn't work. And I certainly can understand that. That has been a point of wrestling for Christ followers for 2,000 years. And it will continue to be so. William Temple, Archbishop of Canterbury, said this about prayer. He said, when I pray, coincidences happen. When I stop praying, the coincidences stop happening. That's interesting. See, when we intercede, we're saying, God, we need you to act and to work. God, we would desire that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done in the life of this individual, this person that we care about. That your spirit would be present, that your grace would work in that person's life, that truth and wisdom would become the thing that they seek after, that they understand. And I don't know what the situation that you might be praying, but God, that you might bring relief. You might bring justice to a situation. I don't know what those things are that are breaking your heart for those whom you love, for those whom you're trying to love. What are those things? Karl Barth put it this way: to clasp the hands in prayer. It's so cute with my little grandkids. Sorry, this is going to happen today. Just going to happen. They always want to pray before the meal, and right away their hands are clasped. And Karl Barth says, to clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder in the world. And that's what we're praying. We're praying that disorder in the person that we love, that we're praying for, would find order. That God's way and sway and will would become greater and larger and more expressed in that person's life. Prayer is the means by which we push back the curse that's infected us and those we love and those around us. That's what intercession is. And it brings us right back to the beginning. It's this whole idea of loving God and loving others, wanting God's best for others. And it's a love of the highest value. Luke chapter 18, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he gave this little story, this little parable. You know about parables if you're sitting in a church this morning, likely. And Jesus would teach in these stories to try to help us to understand what he's talking about in things of the kingdom of the world, because the kingdom of God is very different than our go-to thoughts and ways as a kingdom on this earth. And Jesus said this to his disciples, a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Please remember that as we're going through this, to always pray and not to give up. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time, he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think," there's a loving person, "I don't love God, I could care less what people think. Yet, because the widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me." That's an interesting line. And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" I understand in my role as a pastor over the years, and just as personally as a Christ follower, I understand the challenge of prayer and hope. I understand what it is to have unanswered prayers. I've walked with people who have faced those things, because even though, as we shared just the other week, Terry Stauffer's mom, who at 96 was willing to surrender her life to Jesus, at 96, after how many decades of prayer? For every one of those stories, we have other stories. People who just go to their deathbed, just shaking their fist at God, just rejecting him. We have both of those stories. We've heard stories of miracles in this church family, in and around children and babies being healed of things that just completely confounded the doctors. And yet we also have stories of others who have lost children. And so we have both. I remember my dad one day, it was a Tuesday afternoon, and I got a call, and I was told my dad's not likely to make it. You got to get up to Parksville or up to Nanaimo to the hospital. And I went to the bakery. My kids were working in a bakery and said, "You guys got to get off your shift and get up to Victoria." And they were like, "But we can't do that to our boss." I said, "Yes, you can. Your grandpa's likely dying And we just bolted our way up there. We got up there, and he had an embolism, an entire lung. It was just a clot and was not expected to make it through the night. He made it through the night. The next day, the doctor had no idea. They can't speak of it. It's not there. Doctor didn't do anything. A whole bunch of people were praying. And that was amazing. That's a miracle. He's still got the scarring of the work. That was all there. Still deals with shortness of breath because of the embolism. But he was alive, and the embolism was gone. But you see, I've got that story, and then I can share other stories with you where it's not. And that's the tension, the world in which we live. We anticipate our future life where the kingdom of God will be completely present. But right now, we live in that tension. But God says, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't let the pain of the world around us beat you down to where you lose that sense of hope. Know that God wants to meet you in the midst of whatever that pain is. And just continue to take it to him. It's a tension between the wonder, the amazing power and wonder, way maker God, promise keeper God, and then the reality that we live in a world that is broken. And we will face times of trouble. But he says, don't give up. Keep coming. Keep praying. You just never know when something's going to turn. And so that's my thought for us this morning. Can we intercede? Could we demonstrate our love for others by interceding? Like, can we, and some of you have the gift of intercession. It's amazing. I don't. I struggle just getting down and praying on my own because my brain is just going a mile a minute, racing all over to nowhere. I need help. I need others. Can you join us in interceding? You've got things. I know you do. You've got people that you love who are struggling, who are going through things. Could you continue to persevere? To continue to this God who loves us desperately, who gave himself up for us. For God so loved the world. He loves you. He loves the people that you love. Can you go to him? Could you continue to persevere? And the challenge right at the end of that is, when he comes back, will he find faith? Will he find prayer? Will he find those who are facing a hard life still putting their hope and their trust of those they love in his hands? It's not easy. I know in a room like this, as I was preparing my thoughts and thinking about this, I know that there are some who have some significant heartache, some loss, and some painful things. And I'm just asking you if you could not allow the brokenness and the bitterness of that destroy your soul. To not allow it to destroy that softness, that heart towards God. We intercede for God's kingdom to come, for God's best to be upon those we love. We intercede in such a way that we're saying, yet not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done, God. Trying to figure how to center ourselves, our souls, to align ourselves with our God. And so right now, I just want to pause and just give you an opportunity to maybe wrestle with God a little bit. To go to God, to intercede maybe for someone, to demonstrate, to live out your love through the language of prayer for God. And in that, I guess I'm asking you, is God enough? Whether you get the answer that you need or not, is his presence, his hope, his grace, his forgiveness, his mercy, is it enough to just continue to to sit with him and entrust your life to him. Are you willing to believe him for the best for your heartache? That person, that situation, your longing. And so I'm just going to give us a little bit of space and just maybe give a few verbal prompts in a few moments just to consider, just to intercede, to persevere, to go to our God who loves us more than we can imagine. Let's pray. For those of you who have been carrying a deep wound, one that, I mean, the situation's over, it can't be resolved. Could you go to God again and ask him for him to touch your soul, to bring a healing to your heart and your soul? Can you trust him with that? I understand the need, the want to be closed-fisted and to sort of be shaking your fist in anger and frustration, but it's destroying you. Can you release it? Can you intercede on your behalf? Some of you, in your life, there's a prodigal. Don't know if it's your own child, maybe, or someone's child that you love. But someone's running from God. Could you persevere in that again this morning? Could you intercede? Could you ask for God's best in that person's life? You know, excuse me, you know someone right now who is just dealing with something that has just been so devastating for them, and they need a breakthrough. Could you intercede on their behalf? Could you love them in this way? Could you seek God's best for them? Father God, we have many things that are maybe cycling through our minds, our hearts and minds at this moment, and we're trying to learn what it is, how to trust you when we're not seeing the results, the answers that maybe we so desperately desire. And so God, we just come and we surrender and we entrust our lives and others to you. And we're gonna see if we can figure out how to persevere as this widow lady, as she demonstrated for us. So thank you, God, for being attentive to who we are and our needs, for demonstrating that through the cross. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you who are serving communion, if you'd be willing to take your place at one of the stations. We're going to be taking communion this morning and doing it by way of stations again. And in just a moment, I'll encourage you to go and to pick up the elements. And if you're struggling to get up and to move around, I just encourage you, there's going to be a couple who will make their way to where you are and would be happy to help you in that. I just want to read just a reminder of the posture of our God towards us, who he is and what he did. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Amen. I encourage you now, when you're ready, to go and to gather the elements and bring them back to your seats, and then we'll take communion together.
Spirit of living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice, we're hanging on every word. Spirit of living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more, we're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice, we're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more, we're hanging on every word. When you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we seek. When you come in the room, when you do it, only you can do it. Changes us, it changes what we see and what we see.
Reading his word, that it was on the night that he was betrayed. Betrayed. People decided they'd rather have a criminal set free who'd been ravaging the town, the city. Actually, can we just hold off on the offering for a moment, please? We're not done communion. Thanks. It's hard to communicate sometimes for us, so appreciate it. Thanks. Yes. Betrayed. And he took the bread. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Live your life in a sacrificial way for others. And so he offered his body for us as an example. It's grace and mercy and forgiveness restoring us. And so we take this bread and we do this in remembrance of him. Jesus, we thank you that you just didn't sort of lay down a bunch of laws and ideas and thoughts and, you know, creeds. And said, follow them. No, you said, follow me. Follow me. And so as we take this bread and we take this cup, we are reminded to the extent of your love for others that it was beyond a prayer. I mean, you prayed for us. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And yet you led in such a powerful way, and you ask us to live our lives in remembrance of you. And so as we take this cup, might we understand the level of sacrifice and love and grace and mercy we are to receive and then extend to others. We take this cup in remembrance of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's stand together. Let's worship both by giving, by singing. God bless you. Have a great week.
That you've joined us today. So good to worship together as the family of Christ and as the body of Christ. And I just want to leave us with this benediction. That's a prayer to the crucified Christ. And it says this: Lord Jesus, you stretched out your arms of love upon the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your Spirit, that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and to the love of you, for the honor of your name. Amen. Amen. So go in peace, and we'll see you next time.